Bibles out, if you will, and if I can get Jared to pass out, maybe some people help me pass out these notes, that would be very helpful. I have notes when I speak and minister, so if you can get some people to pass out those notes, that would be great. And let's believe for the Holy Spirit to speak to us in a powerful, powerful way. You guys get ready to record that back here? Good. Get mine are also prepared here and get ready to record. God is so awesome. Father, we thank you for tonight. Holy Spirit, we just pray for a fresh anointing on us. Speak to us, we pray, Lord. Equip us, we pray, God. Lord, we are hungry for a move of the Holy Spirit. We know that you have so much more than what we're walking in right now. And Lord, we believe that you're emphasizing, based upon visions and dreams and prophetic words, that you've been speaking to us and through us. We pray, Lord God, that you would just give us a supernatural burden and hunger for the things and the person of the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, all right, you have your notes? How many of you still need notes? Just keep those hands raised up. All right, I want to speak on tonight on the Holy Spirit's work of awakening and empowering the church. The Spirit's work in this day and this hour on awakening and empowering the church. I really believe that the Lord is going to release some beautiful revelation tonight as to the work, the person of the Spirit of God, and how you can tap into the fullness of everything that God has for you. Let me first give you a testimony of my first encounter ever with the Holy Spirit. I got saved 1981 at a Keith Green Memorial Concert in Hampton Beach, Virginia. I was serving in the military. I was a big Keith Green follower. It was the summer of 1982. He had a plane crash. How many of you know who Keith Green is? One of my favorite worship leaders of all time. Impacted my life in a very powerful way. I've had four major people impact me when it comes to worship. Number one, Keith Green. Number two, Kent Henry. Number three, believe it or not, Benny Hinn. Phenomenal worship leader. And number four, Misty Edwards. It impacted my life in a powerful, powerful way. And among others as well, I would throw in there Matt Gilman. I'll throw in there Marcus Meyer, not because he's here, but because I've said it over and over again. He's really, the music has really deeply affected our lives. And I know that he's your favorite as well. He plays all your songs when he leads worship. He really does. But worship is a very integral part of the life, the anointing, and of the Holy Spirit. So I was at this Keith Green Memorial Concert, and the Lord called me to ministry there. He actually called me to full-time ministry, and the Spirit spoke to me and said, in a few moments, they're going to have an altar call for young adults and young people to give their lives to ministry. I want you to respond to the altar call. And I fought God, literally. I had a tug of war with the Lord. I didn't want to. I said, no, I don't want to give it to myself. I don't want to be in full-time ministry. And he asked me, he says, why? And I responded, and I said, because your preachers are poor. So I said, you have poor preachers, poor examples of ministers, and I don't want to have a poverty mentality. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, if you will surrender your life to ministry, you will never last. He never said you'd be rich or roll in the butts, but he says, you will never lack. And I can tell you, I have never lacked. God has provided for me all the days of my life. I've been serving the Lord since 1981, 32 years, and in 32 years, the Lord has provided for us, incredibly. And so, he bowed to me, he said, son, if you will surrender to the ministry, I will provide for you. So I answered the call. There was a few thousand young people that actually ran down to the altar call and said yes to ministry. At a Keith Green YWAM Memorial Concert. Lauren Cunningham was sharing. Melody Green was sharing. That's when I said yes to ministry. A few months later, I began to read the scriptures about the Holy Spirit, and the young man that brought me to the Lord told me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I wanted it. So I said, well, if this is legit, show me in the Bible. He showed me in the Bible. I began to read upon it, and the more I read about the Holy Spirit, the more I read about the anointing, the more I read about speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, a desire began to grow in me. So I began to buy anything I could on the Holy Spirit. I got most of Papa, I call him Papa Hagen. Kenneth Hagen's material on the Holy Spirit. It built my faith up on the anointing, on the person of the Holy Spirit. I got his material among other great giants of the faith, but it was mainly Papa Hagen's material. And as I began to study, my faith began to build and build and build. But I was still yet discouraged because I'd never had any experience with the Holy Spirit. Until one day, in Pascagoula, Mississippi, our ship was in dry dock for about 3 months, 3 or 4 months. And so while our ship was in dry dock and they were renovating the ship, I went to an assembly of God there in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And in the middle of the service, my pastor was preaching. In the middle of the service, there was a man that was driving by in a car on his way to a bridge to jump off a bridge and commit suicide. And on the way to the bridge to kill himself, this man has a strong impression to stop by at the church that he just drove by. That maybe 50, 60, 70 cars there. Maybe about 150 people were there that night. And the man felt compelled to go into that service. I was in that service. Now mind you, I've been praying for the Holy Spirit. I've been asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Nothing had happened yet. But all of a sudden, in the middle of my pastor's preaching, this man opens the door. It shocked everybody. And the man was just like distraught. He walked down like he was, you know, we didn't know what he was going to do, but he walked down just really slowly like this. And so the pastor stopped, looked at him. He says, "Can I help you, sir?" And this man began to weep. Here's what the man said. He said, 30 years ago, I used to be a preacher. He said, 30 years ago, I was a preacher. But unfortunately, I got involved in drugs. I became an alcoholic. I lost my wife. Lost my children. Have no idea where they're at. And I was on my way to commit suicide and jump off of this bridge. But I felt the tug of God to stop by here. And this man began to shake and weep violently. Fell on his knees. He says, "I want to repent and come home to God." When I saw that, I literally shot out of my chair and I began to shake. And for the very first time, this river began to just bubble inside of me. And I couldn't help it. And all of a sudden, I began to weep and travail. And the most beautiful spiritual language came out. I'll never forget. That's how I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I saw this miracle. And I began to just pray in tongues and rejoice in tongues. And that was my first experience with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can someone say amen? I'm here to tell you that the Lord wants to fill His people. He really, really does. We must have faith for it. So let's look into tonight's teaching. I'm going to go for about 50 minutes to an hour the most. And then we're going to pray. There's no time limits here. We've been here as late as 1 o'clock in the morning or 12:30. We won't go that long tonight. But you know what? I just love Friday nights. We just allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants. I believe there's some of you here that are sick. That God, you're going to get healed tonight. How many of you need a healing tonight in your physical body? Wave at me. Anyone? Anyone here with a left shoulder condition? A left shoulder condition. Is that you? See, first timer. I don't know who you are. I'm telling you, God's going to heal your left shoulder tonight. I just felt that right now. Left shoulder. I felt a tingling sensation go through my left shoulder. God, what's your name, honey? Rebecca, God's going to heal your left. What's wrong with your left shoulder? God's going to heal your left shoulder. You mark my words. You see, so God wants to touch you physically. God wants to touch you spiritually. And I believe that tonight, how many of you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. And come on, don't be ashamed. How many of you have never spoken in tongues? Raise your hand. That's an easier way to say it. Okay, a few of you. All right? We're going to believe for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many of you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. Many of you. We're going to believe for that tonight. We're going to believe for that tonight. How many of you need a prophetic word? Raise your hands. We got some people that know how to prophesy and minister and the gift of prophecy. We're going to release them tonight on you. So let's look at what the Word of God says. The promise of an end time outpouring of God's Spirit and God's power. Now, when the book of Joel was written, it was written in a time when there was great crisis and great darkness. God raised up a prophet by the name of Joel. And Joel was a prophet that began to prophesy about the coming move of the Holy Spirit. I want you to listen to this. Because this prophetic word was spoken in the context of crisis and difficulty. And it's God's way of saying to us, when the things get really dark, when things get really difficult, it's then that my people and my church are going to shine their brightest. I really believe that. I believe that we're seeing tremendous darkness surrounding the nations of the earth. And even in America, we're seeing a tide against the freedom of religion, the freedom of expression of Christianity. And if the church does not wake up and encounter the person, work, and ministry of the Holy Spirit, our witness and our flame is going to be snubbed out. We need once again to burn with a fiery passion that is rooted in loving Jesus, not rooted in doing works for Jesus, but rooted in loving God, majoring on the first commandment to love God with all our heart, spirit, soul, mind, strength, heart, soul, mind, and strength, majoring on loving God, which will produce the second commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. When you love your neighbor as yourself, you're willing to surrender and you're willing to sacrifice yourself. And that's when the Holy Spirit touches a dead person. Amen? The Holy Spirit will touch a sacrificed life. And when Joel wrote the promise of the upcoming baptism of the Holy Spirit, he wrote it in a time of great difficulty. The Babylonian army was threatening to destroy the Jewish nation. Especially Judah was surrounding Jerusalem, was getting ready three different waves of Babylonian attacks by Nebuchadnezzar. And there was three different attacks. And here is the prophet Joel. He sees all this difficulty, but he sees the future. He says, I know that there's difficulty coming around me, but I see there's a great outpouring coming as well. And I'm here to tell you that what happened in Acts chapter 2 is only the down payment of what the Holy Spirit intends to do. Look at your notes, if you will. Point A. And it shall come to pass. Afterwards that I will put, after what? After the time of difficulty, after the time of people praying and seeking God. If you'll study Joel chapter 2, you will see in Joel chapter 1, you will see there was a major emphasis on corporate prayer, on weeping, mourning, fasting, and coming together. The solemn assembly. After the solemn assembly, after my people come together, after my people are willing to fast and pray and pay the price of seeking me, repenting, it shall come to pass afterward. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. My men servants and my maid servants, on them I'm going to pour out my spirit in those days. Well, guess what happens when Jesus comes? He's crucified, resurrected, and all of a sudden Jesus says to the 120, wait in Jerusalem. Don't start preaching yet. Don't go out and start your ministries yet until you're filled with power from on high. Now, if the 120 disciples needed to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I need the Holy Spirit to baptize us? Amen? Did you know that Jesus did not start his ministry until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit? Look it up for yourself in Luke chapter 3, verse 20 through 22. The Bible says that, and Jesus was, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, the next chapter, just two verses later, it says, and Jesus came from Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, and he's filled, and that's when he starts his ministry. The Son of God himself, if the Son of God himself needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit to seal his calling and seal his ministry, how much more do you and I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Did you know that the apostles were filled in the Holy Spirit three times in just Acts, in chapter 2 and chapter 4 alone? In chapter 2, Peter himself was filled in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 4, there's two different references where he was filled again with the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh infilling. We got to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is not an experience. The Holy Spirit is a relationship. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is not a one-time experience. It's a continual experience that is root birth in a relationship of obedience, of surrender to him. So critical to understand this. So on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, Jesus died, was raised again on the third day. After he was raised, how many days did he hang out with his disciples? For how many days was he seen? Anybody know? 40 days. The Bible says for 40 days he would show up every so often and teach them, appear to them, teach them the kingdom of God. And at the end of the 40th day, just before his ascension, he tells the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until you're filled with power. In other words, he was saying to them, you can't start the ministry until you got the power. Don't dare try to do the ministry on your own strength unless You've got the power. Thank you. Amen, church? Now we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to operate in power, live in power. I tell you, I'm so proud of Enrique Gomez. I'm so proud of his evangelistic team. They go out on Friday night, they go to the hardcore places. They're seeing people saved left and right. People getting healed in the streets. It's amazing. We saw a Satanist get healed. He was so shocked by the healing that he even blurted out, "What the curse?" out loud. He goes, "What the heck is this? You know, blank is this?" He goes, "The pain's gone." The guy was so freaked out, he ran away. A Satanist.
Oh my.
I'm telling you, there's power that will simply take those steps of faith. I'm telling you, young people, God wants to anoint you afresh with power. The power of the Holy Ghost is not for those who are just called to full-time ministry. The power of the Holy Spirit is not for those who are pastors and evangelists and teachers. No, the power of the Holy Spirit is for everyone who believes. That's what the Bible, the Word of God says. And in Acts chapter 2, Jesus tells them, don't leave Jerusalem until you're filled with power. They go into this upper room. They're there for 10 days. For a total of 50. 40 and 10 is 50. The word Pentecost means 50th. That's why the Holy Spirit was fell on the 50th day. So we see this. Look at your notes. Acts 2, verse 16 through 18. Peter says this. After they all speaking in tongues, everybody's wondering what is going on. These men, are they drunk? They're all speaking in tongues. And then Peter responds to their questions and says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What Joel prophesied several hundred years ago, Peter and the 119 were actually experiencing. They're all raising their hands. They felt the fire of God come upon them. And they began to speak in other tongues. And the Bible says all these men from other nations, they heard them speak and preach in their own native language. They wondered, what is this? Peter says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Joel said, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. You see, church, I'm here to tell you that what happened in the book of Acts is only the down payment. Because it is clear from Scripture, which I'm going to show you tonight, that the closer we get to the coming of Jesus, the greater the outpouring is going to be. The level is rising more and more and more. Let me tell you, God always... learn the lesson. When Jesus, the first miracle that Jesus did at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, what was the testimony of his first miracle? They said, you have saved the best wine for last. You saved them. Everyone usually brings out the cheap wine at the beginning. And when everyone is drunk and full of wine, then they bring out, everyone brings up the best one at first. And then when everyone's full, then they bring out the cheap wine. But you brought out the best wine for last. I'm telling you, the best wine of the Holy Ghost is reserved for the end time church. We have a right to expect the fullness, to get drunk in the Spirit like never before. I'm telling you, the greatest outpouring is still yet to come, and I'm going to prove it to you tonight in Scripture. Because the Bible says very clearly that we've only received a down payment of what God wants to do. Turn the page over if you will. Let's look at the notes there. Top of page number 2. Point C. Point C. The Lord is going to fulfill the prophetic promises spoken by the Old Testament prophets of a great end time outpouring of God's Spirit upon the church of the end times. Look at these promises. Three powerful verses. I mean, these are scriptures that if I were you, I would highlight, I would confess, I would say, Lord, you promised this. I'm going to walk in this. Look at these promises. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Watch this. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of God. His going forth is established as the morning. Now watch this. He will come to us like the rain. Like the latter and the former rain to the earth. Do you see that? He's going to come to us not just like the latter rain, the former rain, but also the latter rain as well. In Israel, there's two rainy seasons. And Jesus promises that in the last days, it's going to be like both seasons of rains coming together in one mighty storm. That's what it's saying here. That's reserved for the end times, people. That's you and I. And the generation of young people that we pour into, we raise up. I mean, my sons and my grandchildren, they're going to walk in greater fullness than what I've walked in. But I'll tell you what, if I do my part, I'm going to participate in the blessing, in the harvest, and in the reward in eternity. So I better walk in the fullness now. I better walk in my knowledge now and go after it. Because God promises I'm going to give the former and the latter rain together. He says, He's going to come. In other words, the presence of the Lord is going to come like the former and the latter rain. Can you imagine what that will be like? When the Jordan floods and overflows its banks, that's only one rainy season. But what about when the two rainy seasons come together? Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's only the beginning, church. Look what it says here, Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the former rain faithfully. But He's also going to cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Oh, glory to God. He's going to cause the former rain and the latter rain to come together. That is a promise. That hasn't happened yet. But it's going to happen. Zechariah chapter 10, look at verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds and He will give them showers of rain. You see, these are the Old Testament prophets prophesying of a day yet to come. You see, we've gotten the down payment of the latter rain. But we have not yet seen the former and the latter rain come together. Now let me give you some secrets, some keys on how to tap into it. You want to get some secrets on how to tap into this? Look at this. The first verse I gave you, Hosea 6:3, look what it says there. Let us know and let us pursue. You have to have knowledge. And you got to pursue it. In other words, study how the Holy Spirit operates. Study how the anointing works. I love to read things on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? In my studies, I have realized, in my readings, I have seen how sometimes two or three spiritual gifts operate together to bring about a miracle. Sometimes people think it's only just the word of knowledge operating together. No. It's usually two or three gifts operating together to bring about a miracle. Sometimes the word of knowledge, then they get the faith, and they get the miracles. All three operate together to bring about a manifestation. And so in my studies of the Holy Spirit, I have learned, and I'm still learning, how the anointing operates, how the gifts operate, how the gifts complement one another. I challenge you, get knowledge. Read knowledge. Read books. Study sermons. Study people that operate in the Holy Spirit and allow them to provoke you. That's why He says, let us know. He also says, let us pursue. You have to contend for it. Go after it. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. My first experience with a miracle was at a Benny Hinn service. You've never heard of Benny Hinn? Benny Hinn service. I go to a service and I see the power of God operate in a way I have never seen before. And so, as a result of that, I was intrigued. I go to the service, and this man of God calls my name out, picks me out of the crowd, first time there. He says, young man, the anointing's all over your life. I don't know who you are. From this day forward, if you come to this church, I want you to sit up front. That was my introduction to the supernatural. That's how I was invited. 3 months later, He hired me on staff. I come to a service because someone told me there's a man who operates in healing. I just came to check it out. There's about 2,000 people in that service. I was sitting in the third row, aisle, center seat, and in the middle of His teaching or announcement to you, he does this, he points. He says, brother, young man, he again says, I don't know who you are, but the anointing and the call of God's all over your life. And so now when you come to this building, you sit up front. Ushers, you make sure this young man is seated up front. 3 months later, He hired me. I was a youth pastor, one of His pastors for 9 months, 9 years. And that was my introduction to the school of the Holy Spirit. You know what I used to do? I'm going to tell you the truth. Here's what I used to do. I used to, when he would preach and he would operate in healings and miracles, I just got back from Europe with him. I saw people with broken backs healed. It was glorious to see the power of God operate. I used to sit in the service because I was one of his pastors, and I would sit on the stage. I'd have a pad of paper, and I would write everything he did. I would say, okay, he just went into worship. Just called the word of knowledge. He just goes back into worship. I learned how he operated. I studied how he flowed. Why? Because I wanted that. You see, I was pursuing knowledge, and I was contending for the power. So then one day, in my youth service, I get a sharp pain go through my body. I go, well, maybe that's me. And I heard the Lord say, if you'll just call it out by faith, I'm going to heal somebody. And I stepped out in faith. And I said, does someone, I just said it in a way, but does someone have, if that's not a big deal, don't worry about it. I was embarrassed to make a mistake. I go, does anybody have this? And I was so surprised. Someone said, yeah, that's me. How did you know? And that person got healed there. That built faith inside of me. And I began to, then I wanted to study more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's why the prophet says, let us know, but pursue it. Go after it. Go after it. Pursue it. Contend for it until you operate in every one of you are called to anointing and to operate in power. It's clear from Scripture. Point number two, look at your notes. Well, let me show you another key. That bottom verse there in Zechariah 10, look what it says. It says, ask. Ask. Go after knowledge. Pursue the anointing. Ask for the power. Ask the Lord. He says, ask the Lord for rain. Watch this. Especially in the time. Discern the timings of the Spirit and the time of the latter rain. See, right now I'm telling you, I see it. When I was in Europe, I saw a picture. It was like I saw this image in front of me. You know what I saw? I was reminded of my first time ever in the Amazon River, in the Amazon jungle. First time in Belém, in Pará, northern region of the Amazon jungle, by the Amazon River. I saw these two mighty tributaries. One was very muddy, and the other one was a very clean river. And these two rivers came, and they were just splashing, and it was a violent, turbulent, you know, coming together, these two rivers. And then eventually, as they joined together, it began to settle down, and it developed its own color. One was very dirty, the other one was very clean. Of course, the mixture of the two created its own color. But it became a larger river, a larger tributary. I see in the Spirit the merging of different rivers of God. I see the stream, especially if I can say it this way, the river of the house of prayer model joining the river of the healing, anointing, power of the Holy Ghost. I see the intimacy and the love for God, and the river of justice, and the love for the broken humanity. That's what I see. I see these two rivers clashing right now. It's a violent clash, but I'm telling you, God's about to release something fresh on the church in this day and this hour, but we must contend for it. We must pursue it. Go after the knowledge and ask God for it. How many of you will ask for it? Say, Lord, anoint me with power. Seek for it, contend for it, and you're going to see God do something powerful in your own life. Point number two, we must believe and contend for the fullness of God's power in our life. That's something we've got to step out in faith and believe for. Take a risk. Point A, we must believe that the promise of God's anointing and power is for each of us and not just for those who are in full-time ministry. For each of us. The Spirit of God in the Greek is called the Parakletos. That means a teacher, a comforter, an advocate, and an intercessor. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is your teacher? He's your advocate, he's your helper, and he's your intercessor. That's who he is to you. Look what Jesus said. Truly I say to you, watch this, he who believes in me. Who believes in Jesus here tonight? This is not written just to the 12 disciples. It's written to anyone who believes in him. Jesus says, truly, or most assuredly, he's emphasizing this, most assuredly I say, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do. I don't know about you, but I believe that. And I'm going to contend for that. I'm going to go after that. I'm still believing for my first raising of the dead. Why not? Jesus says, greater works than these shall you do. What I love about Jesus, he's not insecure about some of his messengers doing greater works than he ever did. Amen? He's not insecure. Great! You can raise up 30 people from the dead. I only raised about 4 or 5. You got 30. Praise me. Hallelujah. He's not insecure. He rejoices. How many hundreds of thousands in the last 2,000 years has been raised from the dead to the body of Christ? I mean, there's a guy in Mexico that's raised, I think, almost 100 people from the dead. One man in Mexico alone. Powerful man of God. People in China. Teenagers are raising the people. You know that in China, in some provinces in China, if you die, they don't bury you right away. You know what they do? They take your body, and put you in a room, and for 3 days they fast and pray. And after 3 days, if you don't rise from that, they bury you. They have that kind of faith. The Chinese church. In some provinces, they will not bury you for 3 days. Because they want to give you the opportunity to rise from the dead. That's the faith that they have in China. We American church, we must go back. We must get delivered from the spirit of reason. And try to figure it out. And learn to operate in faith again. The reason why the spirit of God doesn't operate with power and authority in us is because we've been duped out of believing into what the word of God says. You teenagers, you don't have to be in your 20s to begin to operate in power. My son Jordan was 8 years old when he first gave his first prophetic word. He says, Dad, the Spirit of God tells me to tell you. And he pointed his finger at me. And when he said that, I felt the weight of God. And when my son gave me that prophetic word, I was getting ready to do something that would have been out of God's timing. And because he gave me that prophetic word, I said, yes, Lord, I will obey. And as a result of that, hundreds of kids were blessed. Hundreds of orphans were blessed. I was getting ready to overlook the orphanage ministry. And God says, listen to your son. If you'll do that first, I'll bless your ministry. An 8-year-old boy, I was at a red light driving with him. Had the radio on. And my 8-year-old boy was sitting in the front seat. He turned off the radio. And he put his hand on my knee. He punched me in the chest. He said, Dad! He's like, Dad, it shocked me. What are you doing, Jordan? He goes, Dad, the Holy Spirit. He goes, Jesus, he said, oh, Jesus just spoke to me. I go, what did he say to you? Jesus said to me, tell you that if you will obey God and not do this one thing and do this other thing, he'll bless your ministry. I was like, what did he say? He goes, God just told me to tell you, Daddy, that if you'll do this and not do this other thing, he'll bless your ministry. I was like, oh my gosh. I obeyed that word from an 8-year-old boy. As a result of it, God opened supernatural doors for a brand new ministry we're launching. I am telling you, you don't have to be in your 20s to let the Spirit of God use you. I want to go after. How many of you are 30 and under? Raise your hands. I want to go. Look at you. Stand up. All you 30 and under, stand up. I want to go after you tonight. I am believing tonight for the Holy Ghost to touch you. I am believing tonight for the Holy Spirit to fill you. All of you 30 members, God's going to bless you too, but I want these young ones right here. Because they're the ones that are going to carry the fire of God in the next generation. They're going to carry the power of God. They're going to operate in faith. I'm going to go, I want you to respond to the altar call tonight. Myself and Jared and others are going to come and anoint you, lay hands on you. We're going to believe for a fresh baptism. We're going to believe that God is going to give you victory over sin. Victory over your weaknesses, victory over carnality, and give you victory to live a whole life. Can I hear an amen? Come on, give a little big shout of praise if you believe that. Jesus says, greater works than these shall you do. Turn the page over. Jesus says this, you shall receive power. Look at that. Stay with me, guys. You shall receive power. When? When the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Do you see the connection? Power is connected to you having an experience with the Holy Spirit. Oh, but I already had my experience with the Holy Spirit when I said yes to Jesus. Wait a second, let's clarify that. Did you know that Jesus, on the resurrection day, he appeared, walked into the walls, had an experience, kind of rebuked Thomas, and then he said this to the disciples on resurrection day. Look at this, he did this. He looked at them, he did this. Received the Holy Spirit. You think they received the Holy Spirit at that moment? At that moment? Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. Was he just saying that? Or did they receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. That's when they were born again. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of regeneration. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. He is the spirit that gives you the born again spiritual birth. That's what happened in John chapter 20. He breathed upon them the Holy Spirit and they were born again. But then he tells them 40 days later, he says, don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you with power. A second experience. When you're born again, that's only the initial experience. You must have the experience of power and anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon your life. You must contend for that, believe for that. You must undo your mind of wrong teaching and wrong doctrine over the last 1800 years, where wrong teaching started coming into the church and began to start teaching that you don't need a baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you, if the early church needed to experience the fullness of the Holy Ghost, we need it today as well. Can I hear an amen?
Yes.
Look down, if you will, at verse number, Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. Peter said, repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus, that's water baptism, for the remission of sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off. That's a promise for everyone. Do you not see that? You have a right to walk with the Spirit of God. God's my witness. Every time I come out before I preach, I say, Holy Spirit, you must preach through me. You must minister through me. Not, I just have empty words. It's man's words. Persuasive words of man's wisdom. I need your anointing. Release the gifts. I had no clue you had a shoulder condition. The Lord knew that. I invite the Holy Spirit to minister through me. I do. I invite him to minister through me. I say, release the word. I have a ritual. I say, Holy Spirit, I got right now. I release. I ask you, release the word of knowledge. Release miracle. Release conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I speak certain things. And I prophesy that before I come out. Well, I'm in there. I'm not just having a nice little time alone, kicking back. I'm in there meeting with the pastors, and then the pastors come out, and then I'm there for like 5 to 7 minutes by myself, and I'm confessing, Holy Spirit, move today. Move tonight. I'm believing for a move of God tonight in your lives. I don't care if there's 100 people or 50 or 10 or 15. It makes no difference. I flow into places and cities where only 5 people showed up and I preached like there was 5,000. I believe the Spirit of God is interested in 5 people as much as 5,000 people. He wants to touch you. The promise is to you and to everyone. Look at point B. Jump down to verse 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 11. This is so important. Look at this. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. You see that? You're part of each one. God's manifestation. That word manifestation means God's demonstration. God's outward demonstration. He likes to reveal his manifestation, his power, is given to each one so that everyone can profit. To one person is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another is given the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. And the same Spirit works all these things. Now watch this. Distributing to each one. That means that every one of you have a spiritual gift. It's your responsibility to find out what gift you've got inside of you. How do you do that? Ask. How do you do that? Pay the price by seeking.
How do you do that? By studying. Once you study gifts, get books. That's why I recommend these books. Get the books. You find out, oh, yes, I feel that way. Oh, maybe I identify with this gift. And then that's how you figure out. You get that each gift has got certain character traits. You figure out your character trait of the spiritual gift that you feel like you have, and all of a sudden, it's like you're in a new world. Now you can operate in faith. I know my strongest gift is the gift of prophecy, without a shadow of a doubt. It's my strongest gift. I know that when I come out, I can prophesy. I can release prophetic words every time I minister because I have confidence in that. Another gift that I offer is a word of knowledge and healing. And so I release it by faith. I send something, I just release it. Sometimes I miss it. Sometimes it's, I release a word that's for somebody that has a relative. I may think it's somebody that's there, but it's actually someone that's not in the service, but it's a relative, and they claim it for someone who's a relative at home. But you got to step out in faith, and you will not step out in faith until you have confidence. Hear me now. Until you have confidence that you might have that gift. When you think you have that gift, you can step out, do little steps of faith. And then God shows up and goes, wow, how did you do that, God? That's how it operates. That's why he said, let us pursue knowledge, let us know, and let us pursue contend for it. And then ask. Because the Spirit of God is giving to everyone individually the gift. Gifts as he wills. He's the one that chooses. Look at 1 John 2, verse 20. This is, I mean, right on. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have a right to know these things. Look at 1 John 2, 27. But the anointing which you have received and abides in you, you have an anointing that you receive. That's the Holy Spirit. Turn the page over. How many of you are learning something here tonight? God wants you to have confidence that He, the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is just some feeling, you're never going to honor Him. But when you know that He's a person, and you talk to Him, and you fellowship with Him, guess what? You're honoring Him, and He'll talk back to you. Please write this down. Make a note of this. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is a person. You know that. Treat him as a person, then he will honor you and speak to you, reveal himself to you. So I love what John 14, 26 did. It says there on the top of your notes about the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you. You know what I do many times? Holy Spirit will teach you. What do you mean by this? The other day I had a dream. I was troubled by the dream. I didn't understand it. So what did I do? Holy Spirit, will you teach me? Show me what this means. I talk to him. I got room for growth in my fellowship with him, but I talk to him. We can always grow in our intimacy with the Lord. But I ask him. When I have dreams or visions, and I don't know what they are, I ask him. I mean, I had a dream that it disturbed me. I don't know exactly what it means. So I've been asking him. There's a day coming very soon, he's going to reveal that to me. I ask him, what do you mean by this? When I have dreams, I don't understand them. I actually will sit in his presence and go, what is this? And sometimes later on that day, he'll reveal it to me. Something pops up. I go, that's what it means. Ask him. Treat him as a person. He's your helper. And when you think you forget things, he's a great reminder. He brings all things to your remembrance to you. That's what it says right there. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you in the Word, or that He said to you through prophetic words, or that He said to you through dreams or vision. How many of you have had dreams and you forgot years, and all of a sudden a dream pops up? Wow, that's what it means. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you. Treat Him as a person. Honor Him as a person. Talk to Him every day. Holy Spirit, I bless you. Holy Spirit, I give you permission. I'm serious. Talk to Him. When you wake up in the morning, Holy Spirit, thank you. Will you teach me how to walk victoriously? Holy Spirit, will you teach me how to fellowship with you? Would you reveal Jesus to me? Holy Spirit, would you reveal your power? What anointing have you given me? What gifts have you given me? You will see that He'll begin to reveal to you the secrets of your heart. Oh, glory to God. Look at point C. Apostle Paul tells us this. Desire spiritual gifts. You see that? Look at 1 Corinthians 12:31. But earnestly desire the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1. He says this, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you should prophesy. Guess what, people? Every one of you should have a right to prophesy. Paul says, desire spiritual gifts. You know what the word desire means in the Greek? It means to covet earnestly. It means to be moved with envy. Those are strong words. To covet, to be envious of. In other words, when I see people operating in the Holy Ghost at a higher level, I'm jealous of that stuff. I'm envious. God, I want that. How many of you know that you could lust for good things? The word lust is not a bad word. It simply means a burning, strong passion. The problem is that we human beings lust for the wrong things, immorality, fornication, and sexual things. We lust for power. We lust for money. How many of you know you can lust for the things of the Holy Spirit? You can lust for spiritual gifts. The word envy, covet, thou shalt not covet. But it says here, desire, covet spiritual gifts. Moses is not talking about coveting righteous things. He's talking about coveting the wrong things. But God gives us permission to lust after God. To burn for God. To burn for the anointing. To burn for the power of the Holy Spirit. To burn for the gifts of God. To burn for His presence. You have a right to do so. Ask Him. Holy Spirit, I want to burn for you. Desire spiritual gifts, Paul said. Why? Because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not earned. They are gifts that are given. We must resist the temptation of not pressing into the fullness of faithfully manifesting the gifts of the Spirit simply because of our weakness. One of the reasons why many of us don't press in is because, well, I'm so weak. I still mess up in this area. And the enemy's defeated you already if you think that way. Please remember this. The gifts of God are given. They're not earned. I'm going to say that again. You cannot earn the anointing. It's given to you. Now, what helps us to operate in confidence and boldness is if we allow, watch this, by allowing the fruits, the character of Jesus, holiness, righteousness, humility, faithfulness, integrity, truthfulness, by us operating in fruits. The fruits give us boldness and confidence to operate in the gifts. The reason why many of us have a hard time operating in the anointing is because we allow the devil to convince us that we're not worthy enough. You can never be worthy of receiving the gifts of God. Because a gift is given. It's not earned. Fruit, on the other hand, is grown. You've got to put effort into it. Holiness, character, you've got to cooperate with God. You've got to allow the Holy Ghost to discipline you. And the more we allow ourselves to grow in character, the more bold we'll be to operate in the anointing of God. Can I hear an amen? Isn't that good? That's why we must operate in holiness, integrity. Because if we operate in integrity and righteousness, the Spirit of God will be released confidently because we won't allow accusation or condemnation from the enemy. Did you know that you could go without praying for a week or 2 weeks? Go without reading the Bible for a week or 2 weeks? And God, there's a poor beggar or poor sick person that's really hurting. And you may have that gift of to heal. And you haven't prayed. You haven't sought the Lord's presence. On the inside, you're feeling dirty. You feel like, oh God, something's wrong. I don't feel your presence. And you know what? For the sake of that person, you've got a gift of healing. God's not going to say, well, you haven't prayed, so therefore I'm not going to heal you. He doesn't operate that way. You got a gift. It wasn't earned. And that gift is not for you, it's for others. I'm going to say that again. The gift and the power of God is for others. It's not for you. Watch this. The fruit and the presence is for you.
to say this again.
The fruit and the presence, that's for you. The gift and the power,
that's for others.
You see the difference? That's why if I am focusing on my fruit, if I'm focusing on holiness, that's developing fruit. If I'm focusing on living right, I'm drawing the presence of the Lord. When it comes to operating power, I feel bold, I feel confident because I'm in the presence of the Lord. But if I'm not praying, I'm not reading, I get tempted, I get hurt very easily, I can lose my temper a lot easier, I get bothered by situations. Why? Because I'm not filled. And so therefore, a situation comes up where your gift should be used. Oh, I'm not worthy, God. That's the lie of the devil. That's why you got to keep up your walk with the Lord up to par every day. So you don't allow the devil to step in with a lie and say you're not worthy to be used of God. Come on, someone say hallelujah. Tell your neighbor that's good. That'll help you right there. That's why you must desire spiritual gifts. Go after it. Contend for it. Look at the bottom of your notes. Give me about 15 more minutes. You guys give me 15 more minutes? Oh, this is great teaching here. God's giving you some secrets here. Look at the bottom of your notes, Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given. Your gift operates according to grace. The word grace means undeserved favor. Having gifts given according to the grace. In other words, you receive the gifts according to unmerited, undeserved favor. Having the gifts according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Step out of faith and use it. How many of you have been used before to prophesy? Raise your hands. Okay, prophet. You have a right to prophesy every day. How many of you have been used before in gifts of healing? Raise your hands. You have the right to use your gift of healing on numerous occasions. How many of you have been used having a word of knowledge? Raise your hands. You have a right to operate in the word of knowledge. You don't have to be, don't wait to be perfect. Are you hearing me? The enemy wants to resist the anointing by pointing out your immaturity. If you focus on your immaturity, if you focus on your weakness, the anointing is crippled. What is the anointing? The anointing is a power that makes the gift work. That's what the anointing is. It's the power that gives the resource to release the gift and manifest the gift. The anointing is a person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit breathes on your gift, releases power, and you're inspired. You give a word of knowledge. You operate in healing. You prophesy. You give a tongue. You interpret whatever the gift may be. It's the anointing that does that. But if you focus on your weakness, focus on condemnation, guess what happens? It cripples the anointing. Shame, guilt, condemnation. And then you don't feel like you're worthy, and therefore you hide, you don't step out, and then the gift is squelched. It's quenched. The enemy knows how to quench the gift of God in each and every one of us. Look what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. There in your notes. It says this. As each one has received the gift, how many of you received the spiritual gift? Raise your hands. Almost 80% of you, as each one has received the gift, minister it one to another as good stewards. You have to be a faithful steward of the gift of God. You don't use it, you may lose it. God will never take it away, but you'll convince yourself that that was years ago, and so therefore you're not worthy of it anymore. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. So what do we do? Point number three, resist the enemy's lies to hinder the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to look at, you can read point three for yourself later on in your notes. And one of the things that you will see is this. You will see that when Paul came to the Corinthian church, it was a very immature church. Can I have the worship team come up forward, please? Singers and worship team. The Corinthian church was a very immature church. They just had experienced the Holy Spirit and they were abusing the gifts. They were abused, they were just, it was like, oh, hallelujah. Oh, that's, who's going to prophesy? prophesy next? Who's going to do this next? They were abused. They had no idea how to operate in a way that was honorable to the Lord. So Paul comes in, and he instructs them. The first thing he says to them is this. Watch this. In Romans chapter 1, verse 26 to 30, one of the first things he says to them is this. He goes, not many of us who are wise, not many noble, not many mighty ones, not many rich ones are called. But the weak, the despised, the cast aside ones, these are the ones that God calls. Basically, he was affirming them. You may be weak. You may be uneducated. God's chosen you. Number one, never doubt God's anointing on you based upon your lack of maturity or your lack of knowledge. That's number one. Wow. Number two, here's what Paul does. Turn the page over. Turn the page over. Oh, this is so good.
It's good.
Look what he says. Look what Paul says. Paul says to the Corinthian church, he corrects them, but he doesn't tell them, don't use the gifts that way. He says, keep using the gifts. Keep prophesying. He says, I wish you could all prophesy. He says, the Spirit of God is given to each one of you. We read that in 1 Corinthians 12:7-10. He just said, you know, I know you guys are you're misusing the gifts, but I want to remind you, every one of you got a gift. Keep using the gifts. And then later on, he teaches them how to administer the gift correctly. But he doesn't rebuke them, and he doesn't tell them to stop using it. He encourages them, keep using the gifts. Even though you're immature, and even though you've misused the gifts, keep using the gifts. Learn from this. Don't quench the anointing, he's basically saying. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:37. Look what Paul says about the gifts. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or a spiritual person, let him acknowledge that the things that I am writing about, which you read about all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, these are a commandment of the Lord. Did you just hear that? Things that I wrote to you about, he said, these are the commandments of God. In other words, we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we are commanded to find out our spiritual gift and operate in the gift of God. Paul just finished teaching him at 1 Corinthians 12:13-14 about the spiritual gifts and the motive behind the gifts. And he ends pretty much by saying, I want to remind you, these are commandments of God. The commandment of God to operate in gifts. The commandment to figure out your gift. And the commandment to release the anointing on your gift. It is not a suggestion, church. It's a commandment of the Lord. And the holier we live, the more that gift is going to be released through us. Someone say hallelujah. Someone say amen. I'm going to let you finish reading the rest on your own. So much to continue. I really should make this a two-part series. Because the Spirit of God truly wants to teach us how to flow in the anointing of the Lord. How to operate in the gifts. But I want to close by saying this. Every one of you have a gift. Every one of you are anointed. Every one of you have a right to operate in the things of the Holy Spirit. Every one of you have a right to operate in power. Let me end by saying this. Look at the bottom of your notes, point C. We must therefore keep our love for God as priority over any spiritual blessing that God may graciously impart in us and upon us. Jesus acknowledged the disciples and the 70 that came back to him and they were rejoicing. Jesus, at the end of that verse, in verse 20, he says, don't rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, rejoice that you have eternal life. And then he says in Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. When you just finished commending the Ephesian church, hey, you've done this, you've done these works, you've done this ministry, all this powerful thing you're doing, but you've left your first love. Keep the first things first. Keep Jesus first. Love him. Sit at his feet. Minister to him. And let him fill you with power
And everybody said, amen. Why don't we stand to our feet this tonight? Let's believe the Lord to touch us tonight. I'm especially believing for these young people to receive a touch of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's lift up our hands if we can tonight. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Lord. We welcome your rain, Lord. We welcome your rain, your wind, your fire, your river, Lord God. We welcome, Lord God, your movement, oh Lord. We're hungry, Father. We believe that we're in an hour where your spirit is burning, your spirit is moving. I'm going to need you, Elliot, tonight. I'll be ministering tonight to you, brother. Just come on, I just want you to lift up your hands and tell the Holy Spirit, here I am. Fill me. Some of you need a fresh infilling tonight. Some of you need a fresh baptism tonight. Some of you need a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. Some of you need a physical healing in your body. You're going to believe in that tonight. Some of you is battling with a left infection. Someone got something in the left ear. Where is that? Put someone waves their hand. Something in the left ear. Way back there. I didn't know that. So the Lord knew that. Someone's a left ear condition. God will heal that tonight in the name of Jesus. Also, someone's struggling with a virus in your intestinal system or your stomach. Some kind of virus. You know, upset stomach. You know, who is that person? Something in the stomach. Where are you? Wave your hand at me. Come on. Where's the person with the stomach? I'm sensing something in the stomach area. If that's you, wave your hand at me. I know that. Anyone? Come on, real. If that's you, take it. Let the Lord heal you tonight. Is that you, brother? Back here in the back. Okay, we're going to believe for it. For you to touch, you got to touch your intestinal system, the stomach area. And Jesus is there. Come on, lift up your hands before the Lord. He wants to touch you tonight. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, come on, say, here I am, Lord God. I'm contending for this. I believe for this, Lord. I want the wind. I want the fire. I want the rain, Lord. I want the wind of God to come upon me tonight, Lord. God, let's worship the Lord for a second, then we're going to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit tonight.
Señor, lost it all down. Release the fullness of your Spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your Spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your Spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your Spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Señor, you're lost and it all down. Señor, you're lost and it all down. Señor, you're lost and they are 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 down. Oh, come like wind, come like rain, come like fire, come like oil, come like wind, come like rain, come like fire, come like oil. Come like wind, come like rain, come like fire, come like oil, oh, come like wind, come like rain, come like fire, come like oil. And it's your presence we are longing for. and it's your spirit we are waiting for, and it's your presence we are longing for, and it's your spirit we are waiting for, and it's your presence we are longing for, and it's your spirit we are waiting for, and it's your presence we are longing for, and it's your spirit. Shine, Lord, shine. Light on your face. Shine, Lord, shine. The light of your face. Shine, Lord, shine. The light of your face. Shine, Lord, shine. The light of your face, it's your presence we are longing for, it's your spirit we are waiting for, it's your presence we are longing for. It's your spirit we are waiting for.
Jesus, we just
welcome your
Holy Spirit.
Oh,
Lord, come and lift up Jesus.
Magnify your Son. Come and lift up
Jesus tonight.
Oh, come and lift up your Son. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. 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 Come like wind, come like rain, come like fire. Come like oil, come like wind, come like rain, come like fire, come like oil, come like wind, come like rain, come like fire. Come like oil, come like wind, come like rain, come like fire, come like oil.
You are compelling us, and you are saying to us, I desire to pour out my spirit afresh, says the Lord. I look to those whose hearts are loyal to me. I search to and fro throughout the whole earth. I scan the face of the earth. I look upon the hearts of my people and those that are pursuing, those who are asking, those who are seeking. Oh, the Lord says, it's my desire. I choose to bless. I rejoice in releasing my anointing and releasing my spirit. And even this night, says the Spirit of God, I will anoint, I will fill, I will use you, says God. Oh, look to me, says the Lord. Look to me with a searching heart, and I will fill you, and I will satisfy you with new burning desires, ways you never thought could fulfill and satisfy your heart. It is I, says the Lord, this is an hour again to re-emphasize my ministry, re-emphasize my workings, to understand my anointings, to understand my spiritual work. I desire to manifest with power. I desire to heal the sick and save the lost. I desire to bring back the backslidden and restore them back to their rightful inheritance. But I look for vessels, says the Spirit of God. I look for those that I can fill. I look for those that I can use. I look for hands. I look for mouthpieces, says God. I look for hearts that will discern. I look for ears that can hear what my spirit is saying. Oh, the Lord says, will it be you? Will you respond? Will you say, yes, here I am, Spirit of God. Fill me again. Anoint me afresh. Oh, the Lord says, can you not hear the wind that's blowing? Can you not smell the rain that's about to come?
Amen.
The Lord says, my winds are beginning to blow. The smell of rain is about to come, says God. Prepare yourself. This is an hour of preparation. Prepare yourself with knowledge. Prepare yourself with pursuing. Prepare yourself with understanding my ways, says God. I am about to move quicker than you think, quicker than you realize. Prepare yourself, said the Holy Spirit. I'm going to blow in Central Florida. I'm going to blow across the land. But I will look for vessels that are prepared. And those vessels that are prepared, says the Spirit of God, my wind, my rain, my fire, and my oil shall touch them in a brand new way. Come, says God, choose to say yes. Choose to accept my ways, and I will touch you even this very night, says the Spirit of God. If that's you, if you know that the Spirit of God, you feel the Holy Spirit beginning to touch you even right now, I want you to get out of your seat quickly. Some of you are feeling the presence of the Lord physically in your body. You come out of your seat right now and say, here I am. I want you to forget those around you, and I want you to get lost in the presence of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is going to touch some of you even before anyone does anything to you. I want you to come and put your feet on one of these lines here. Come to the very first line, the front line. Come to the very front line if you don't mind. And just stand there, and let's believe tonight for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on, lift up your hands before the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Ramo Shakataya. Release your fire. I'm telling you, some of you are going to feel fire come upon you tonight. Come on, just begin to cry out to the Lord. This is not a night, this is not a time to be polite and be quiet. Listen, when the Bible said that when the 120 were filled, they were loud. They were thousands upon thousands heard them. This is your time to raise your voice. This is a time to lose your dignity right now. Tell the Lord what you want right now. Forget your neighbor. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about what they think. The Holy Spirit is here to baptize you. How many of you desire? enemy. Then receive it right now. Come on. Begin to raise your voice right now. Oh, the mama cut body. Come on. Come on. Begin to raise your voice. Pray up.
Oh, Holy Spirit, send your glory on me, Lord. Send your glory on me, Lord. Send your glory on me, Lord. Send your glory, Lord, in the altar. Oh, Lord,
shine
the light of your face. Shine, Lord, shine. The light of your face, shine, Lord, shine. The light of your face, shine, Lord, shine. The light of your face, come like wind, come like rain, come like fire, come like oil, come like wind, come like rain. Come like fire, come like oil, come like wind, come like rain, come like fire, come like oil, come like wind, come like rain. Come like fire, come like oil. Just lift your voice to the Lord. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. Oh Lord, we cry out. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. We lift up our voice to you, pour out your spirit, la-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la-la, oh, la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la, Sure, la 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 la.